All right, let's get an up-close look at the Steelers' Monday night opponent, the New York Giants. Let's go to Jordan Ronan, Giants reporter for ESPN. He is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jordan, I appreciate you joining me here. Daniel Jones is obviously a big story this week. In what state, in what sort of mental state and physical state do we find Daniel Jones going into this game?
Yeah, well, the Giants are out there right now. We just walked in, first practice of the week, and Daniel Jones is, you know, back with the starters. And but you could tell after the game the other day, right, because the Giants pulled him in the second half in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
So they were looking for a spark. You could tell that Daniel Jones was not happy with the situation and everything that was unfolding there. Now, maybe, you know, you could easily make the argument that it was deserved, that they needed to look for a spark, they needed to go in another direction, and they might need to do that moving forward. But the bottom line is the Giants are turning back to him. And I will say this, when Daniel Jones has had his back against the wall several times here, they didn't pick up his fifth-year guarantee a couple of years ago. That's when he had his best year. Every time they after week one, he was kind of getting pummeled. He had some of his best games. So there is that part of Daniel Jones where every time you seem to want to bury him, he kind of comes back and does something positive to say, okay, you know what, maybe you could be okay with him. He could do some things out there.
You know what, I'm a Daniel Jones fan. Watching him play, he puts his body on the line. I'd forgotten until right before you came on that the Giants have won a playoff game more recently than the Steelers. And in that game, he had almost 400 total yards. Are his struggles more about him or about the team they've put around him, Jordan?
Oh, that's a tough one because, yeah, you could easily say throughout the years that the team they put around him is clearly not good enough. And you look at the overall track record, that's a big part of it. But at this point, I think it's a combination, right? The team around him isn't great, but he's also not playing very well right now. I mean, the last couple of weeks he's played poorly. The 3 weeks before that, he played fine. But he's got to do better with his confidence and his ability and his willingness to throw the ball downfield and be aggressive. He hasn't done that. Now, you brought up a point. Like, he won a playoff game. He was amazing in that playoff game. But at this point, it's 2 years later.
Yeah,
they paid him a $160 million contract, 4 years, $160 million. So they already paid him $80-plus million, $100 million of that contract. Oh, sorry, almost basically $80 million of that contract. This is the second year. You want to see some sort of payoff for the $80 million since then. And let's be honest, they haven't. They haven't had a touchdown pass at home this season.
Wow.
Now, he does have six touchdown passes, no interceptions on the road. All his interceptions are at home this year, which is kind of a weird stat, but he has had more success on the road.
Who are the main weapons around him, and are they healthy? Who do the Steelers have to be concerned about?
Malik Neighbors. Yeah, I think that pretty much sums it up right there. That's the guy. He's the main weapon. He's the only one that's really going to strike fear in opposing defenses. They're running backs. They have, you know, rookie Tyrone Tracy has looked all right at times. Devin Singletary's proven he could do some things in this league. But these aren't any kind of guys that are going to scare you. It's Malik Neighbors is the guy that can do damage for them. And he's proven that. I mean, he missed 2 weeks with a concussion, came back last week. The Giants did nothing offensively. They were a disaster offensively. But before that, he was averaging 13 targets a game. So the ball is going to go to Malik Neighbors a lot, and he could make some big plays. He's had some highlight reel catches already this season. You know, he's along those lines of what you think, you know, George Pickens, when I look on the other side, in regards to the spectacular catch, he's capable of those and creating big plays. So that's what you got to look out for offensively for the New York Giants.
Jordan Ronan, Giants reporter from ESPN. I saw where the owner gave the coach and the GM a vote of confidence. Is that the dreaded vote of confidence they got this week, or do you believe they're going to stick with what they have moving forward, starting with Brian Daboll?
I absolutely believe they want to stick with what they have. Now, the only thing that'll make me reluctant to say they're definitely going to stick with what they have, because I truly wholeheartedly believe that's with their preference. We've seen it before. John Mara came out, said, we're keeping the coach, Ben McAdoo. And then before the season was over, Ben McAdoo was gone. You know, Joe Judge was given 100 assurances he's going to be back and after 2 years, and then Joe Judge was gone. So the key here is for them to try to keep it going off the rails. And this is a big game because they're 6-point underdogs. If it's ugly, I mean, it's going to be an easy joke for people nationally, right? To still say, I mean, the Giants just stink. Look at them. They're 2-6. They just put a putrid performance. Pittsburgh just killed them, you know, on Monday Night Football in front of the entire national audience. So that won't play well. They know the situation that they still have to produce results this season and keep this going completely off the rails. And step number one is here, and at least keeping this game close.
What's the state of the offensive line, particularly the tackle position? Who's going to be matched against T.J. Watt, Jordan?
Yeah, their right tackle is kind of set, I think. They're not going to move Jermaine Illuminor over to the left side. That's their problem right now, their left tackle, because their standout left tackle, Andrew Thomas, is out for the year with a Lisfranc injury. So T.J. Watt is mostly over the right tackle, right? Like 98% of his snaps are over the right tackle. And Jermaine Illuminor has proven that he's a capable right tackle in this league. Now, capable right tackle doesn't mean you can block T.J. Watt. I believe T.J. had some success against Jermaine Illuminor last year when he was in Las Vegas and had a couple sacks against him. So, you know, it's a matchup certainly that's still favorable for the Raiders, but it doesn't. It's the other side that you really look at, because the Giants, they lost their left tackle. They're trying Josh Azudu there. He's a third-round pick from 2 years ago. They tried it last year. It was a total disaster. He let up 2 early sacks this past week. So, you know, Highsmith could have a big game on that side. Or if they decide to move T.J. Watt over there, the Giants better bring, you know, 3 tight ends and 2 running backs to help out in regards to T.J. Watt, or if he ends up matched up against Josh Azudu.
Lastly, and on the other side of the ball, Jordan, the Giants' defense seems like a decent unit anyway, and Mike Tomlin went crazy over Dexter Lawrence the other day and about how good he is. He is a problem, as Tomlin said. What are the Steelers getting from this Giants' defense?
I think that's a fair assessment. The dude is definitely a problem. He's playing nose tackle, and he leads the league in sacks. Think about that for a second. Nose tackle, and wow, he's leading the league in sacks. The Giants as a whole lead the league in sacks. So they are a unit that can pressure you up front. If they are able to get you into passing downs, they could do some damage. The key here for Pittsburgh, obviously, will be how much damage can they do in the run game against this defense, because the Giants are 32nd. That would be dead last in the NFL in yards per rush allowed.
Well, it's going to be interesting. It always is. I remember a game, I was thinking about Giants-Steelers, like what are some games I remember, and there was a legendary game at Giants Stadium. Ben in his rookie year and Eli Manning in his rookie year, and it came down to the final play. You remember that game?
Yeah, that was a long time ago. I was thinking the Giants have not been out to Pittsburgh very often in recent years.
No.
It's been a while. They came out 8 years ago. They played also on that Monday nighter to open the season, which was a disaster for Daniel Jones, if you remember, but that was out here.
Yes.
Yeah, they haven't been out to Pittsburgh very much. I've been covering the team for 13 years now and been out there once so far.
Yeah, that's the way it works with these rotating divisions. I appreciate the time, Jordan. Thanks, man.
And remember the days when these two teams had good quarterbacks you can rely on?
Yeah, man. That's what I was remembering. They were Eli and Ben were just getting started. They won 4 Super Bowls. Those days are gone.
It worked out for them. I don't like the chances of Russ and Daniel Jones winning many Super Bowls for these franchises.
Yeah, I think you and me both on that one. Thank you, Jordan.
You got it. Enjoy the game.
All right, man. See ya. Although, you know, we'll see with Russ. Where are we going with this? That's the question. Where are we going with this? Limits. And that's why all eyes will be on Cooper Kupp tonight. Go ahead and laugh. Not you, but anyone out there. I kind of like a receiver. A receiver who's open all the time. I think him and Russell Wilson were made for each other. Russ with those little step-up throws, you know, even if you want to call them checkdowns, whatever. I like a guy who's open 5 to 10 yards down the field all the time. And Russ is accurate on those throws, very accurate. I think having Cooper Kupp would help unlock the middle of the field, and that just makes things easier for everybody. But we'll see what he's like tonight. We'll take a look. And yeah, Brian Daboll, Joe Schoen got the dreaded vote of confidence this week from John Mara, the owner. Man, the Giants do stink. And I fear for, I think this is a, more than anything else limits, a TJ Watt breakout game.
And we really haven't seen it, like, at all this year.
I mean, teams, they've always obviously focused on TJ, but I think this year more than ever, from what I see.
Yeah.
It's just like, that guy is not going to beat us no matter what. And, you know, sometimes that works, but other people can beat you. And then sometimes even that doesn't work. And I think Monday night's going to be one of those nights where poor little Daniel Jones and whoever's playing right tackle is going to be under siege as TJ, who really, I mean, you know, to be fair and reasonable, he's not really right now among the favorites for defensive player. He can't be of the year. He's 4.5 sacks. That's
no, he is the leader in the clubhouse by far for defensive player of the year in all the betting markets.
What?
Yes. And that's the thing. He even hasn't even had that big breakout game yet that you're like, man, there's TJ Watt. I mean, he has had a lot of
that's
moments.
That's based on what they think they will he will do in the future. So that does make sense. But if the vote were held now, there's no chance.
Who would you vote for then? Dexter Lawrence?
Somebody who had more than 4.5 sacks, and I'm not blaming TJ. I'm just saying he's 14th. He'd be the first guy in the league to be 14th in the league in sacks to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Well, if you ask Myles Garrett, it's not all about sacks. Maybe it's about forced fumbles and pressure rate.
No, but 14th in the league, you're not getting it. But I do understand the idea of projecting forward. That's exactly what I just said, is that starting Monday night, he's gonna roar back into league leader territory. But yeah, Dexter Lawrence would be a guy right now. 7 tackles for loss and 9 sacks from the nose tackle position.
Watt has 3 forced fumbles on the season, 4.5 sacks, and a plethora of tackles for loss.
Plethora is a nice word. He's got 8. Other guys have 10. I mean, that would be crazy if the season ended now and he won the award. If you want me to make a prediction, yeah, I predict he'll be among the top 3. That's how I started this whole thing, limits.
I predicted him at the start of the year to win Defensive Player of the Year.
Now, you're not exactly going out on a limb
Big
to predict
limb.
TJ Watt to win the Defensive Player of the Year.
It's a
limits.
Loose limb because of Myles Garrett and the way that the voters think of him, apparently.
Yeah, I would agree with that. TJ should have won it twice and probably 3 times by now. Watch them give it to Myles Garrett, who has 4 sacks so far.
Think about all the players that are ahead of him in terms of sacks. Will McDonald, Kyle Van Noy, Trayvon Walker.
I think Aiden Hutchinson, if he was healthy, would be the odds-on favorite right now.
Do you know who Pat Jones is of Minnesota? Ever heard of Pat?
Yeah.
Not to be confused with Bostic, not to be confused with Narduzzi.
Yes,
he has more
he's
sacks
from
than
Pitt,
TJ
for God's sakes. Limits.
I know.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. We've come full circle here. I think it's going to be a bust-out game for TJ Watt. That's what I think. Coming up, we're going to wrap things up here with our very own Jeff Hathorn, who's been on the South Side all week. He's going to talk about the Steelers. He's going to talk about Pitt-Syracuse very much.